Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
I would just lie. Which is a sin.
I was petrified to do anything wrong that would get me kicked out of the cult.
I went on a date. A freaking sweaty ocean disaster.
I'm gonna take this club and put it up your butt.
We're chatting.
Do tell the coffee story.
Did I say something weird already? Because remember you told me last time that I say something weird every time we start the podcast?
No, there's nothing weird because we weren't recording.
Oh, okay, good. I was saying weird things before we started recording.
Yeah, we weren't recording though, so.
Damn it.
Also, what we were talking about was not weird. We were just riffing.
Oh.
We were just chit-chatting.
That wasn't weird.
No, you're right. It wasn't weird. I love saying weird things though. Although I have no idea what they are because Katie just edits them out of the episode, so I never get to see or hear what my little mannerisms are.
It's mostly just singing.
And just say the complete wrong lyrics.
Yep.
That's kind of Adam Core. I'll just make up lyrics to a song. Just start singing something random. No, I was just telling Katie about how Colby and I just ran into each other this morning randomly.
I love it.
Colby was down in my hood. She was out on the street with my neighbors.
Building mates.
I'm walking out of the building to walk up to Katie's to record, grab my coffee, and who do I see right outside of my door? It's Miss Colby Cassidy. But it's also so random because you weren't outside the front door. You were out the back door, which people don't normally go out of. People usually walk out the front door. So the odds of me running into Colby, very slim.
Yeah, the back door.
Standing right out the back door. But yeah. Anyways. I was just going to get my coffee, and then there Colby is, and she's like, do you want to go get coffee at this place where we just got 20% off? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, 20% off coffee, of course I want to go there. So we walk around the corner, because there's a new coffee shop that opened up on my street, right outside my building. It's called Regular.
Regular.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good name.
Yeah, it actually is cute.
It was cute.
You're a regular.
I was telling them that it used to be an Australian coffee shop.
It
is an Australian coffee shop.
Yeah.
Okay, so there used to be another Australian coffee shop there, and then the owner had to move back to Australia. So she sold the coffee shop to somebody else, and they ended up closing it down because business around my area is a little bit challenging because they just opened up a migrant shelter in the hotel.
Yes.
So they transitioned the hotel across from my building into a migrant shelter, and so a lot of the businesses are having trouble, sustaining that.
Yeah.
Because they used to get a lot of business from the hotel, obviously.
Right.
And that hotel was specifically being used to house a lot of airline flight attendants. So, they would ship all these flight attendants in to stay at this hotel across from my my building, and they would be all, the patrons at these coffee shops and the restaurants and whatever. So when they turned it into a migrant shelter, they had to shut down that coffee shop. Anyways, that spot has been vacant for a while. And so I guess somebody in my building, which I found out after Colby and I got coffee, opened a coffee shop. And they were something that's really missing in the neighborhood is a local spot, community spot. Just
Wait.
Because a lot of ours have closed just because of,
that's nice.
Situational stuff. But So anyways, the spot opened. Colby told me that they were giving away 20% coffee. And I was like, oh my God, had no idea. Like, we need to go get 20% coffee.
So we walk in and I had already been there with one of my friends who lives in Adams building, and her roommate then was in there already getting coffee and like walking out as we were walking in. And I was like, we're bringing everybody here.
Wow.
And they were so excited. Yeah. It was so cute. And then anyways, I go to check out my coffee and it was $6. And then I paid for my coffee and I was like, that was not 20% off coffee.
20% off of $6, our two coffees were still like $10. So you would have saved.
But it would have been like $4.80 opposed to $6.
So wait, back up. Like, why did you not get 20% off?
Well, let me just tell you. We walk out. I'm complaining to Colby. I'm like, bro, that was not 20% off, and I'm mad at you. Because I had a free coupon for a coffee in my pocket that I was going to go to Brookfield Place to get. But anyways, so I was so excited for my free coffee, and then all of a sudden, I just ended up spending $6 on a freaking Colby.
Supporting a small business.
That's true. It ended up being fine. So anyways, I go, Colby, why wasn't it 20% off? And she's like, oh, you needed to say that you lived in XYZ, my building, and that you got the email. Yeah, but anyway, so then okay. I, of course, open my email, and yeah. I see that I got an email like 30 minutes before.
I see.
Being like, if you live in this building, 20% off, just say you live in the building, because we're a couple that lives in your building and opened up this local shop and gave the story.
So, but yeah. Could you use the 20% another time?
Yes,
all week. Oh, would you look at that?
As many times as you want.
Maybe I'll come. Maybe
so
I'll.
Don't you worry. You'll take, well, I mean, Jack's my next door neighbor, so it's like technically his local coffee shop as well.
Wait, I should tell him about this place.
And it looked like they had good food. There were a lot of people coming in and getting food for takeout, and there were people sitting in the back too.
Yeah. I mean, there were a ton of people in there, honestly.
It was cute.
It was kind of nice because also like we ran into my other, person who lives in my building that Colby's also friends with, like in the spot. So clearly they're accomplishing their goal of becoming a little community spot, you know?
Was there like a little seating area? Like mm-hmm.
There is in the back, yeah.
Because you know what? The one thing about Friends, the TV show, that I've just never quite understood, it's like they have that coffee shop and they all go to that coffee shop for like 7 years or however many seasons, they all go to that coffee shop.
To Central Perk.
And for me, I feel like I'm like constantly siphoning through or cycling through coffee shops depending on where I move to and like depending on just like my vibe, my feelings. And I'm not really sitting in a coffee shop with my friends as much as I thought I would be moving to New York. You know?
But I think it's also like proximity of how close your friends live to you.
True.
And how, like, you're the only one of our close immediate friends, I think, that lives in West Village, right?
That is true. Right. And I guess in the show, they all kind of live in that one building besides Phoebe.
Yeah. Like, if I lived in the West Village, I could totally see us, like, staking out a...
Where would we go?
What do you mean? The options are endless. I feel like there's so many cute shops here.
Partners Coffee.
Partners. But I feel like they don't have, like, a couch in these places. You know, they have, like, the chairs and you can, like, do work. I want, like, a comfy couch and an armchair like Friends.
You should open it.
Ooh.
Katie, business idea.
Ooh. Okay. What would we call it? What would I call it? Katie's Cafe. No.
Match made.
Match made.
In Manhattan.
In coffee.
But with different... font, and the in Manhattan would be like in italics below the
can you imagine if we did like a pop-up coffee shop? I think we would crush it.
I completely agree. Do you know, I certainly don't know how to make coffee.
Speed dating ex coffee shop.
I actually do know how to make, I know how to use one of those machines, like the espresso machines, because of my time volunteering for no pay at a church camp over the summer before college.
Okay.
Yep.
Like the kind that you have to grind, yep. And then you put it in.
They taught us how to do it. I mean, granted, I was doing it for a good cause, I guess. But yeah, back in my days of being super religious. Anyway, yeah, I learned how to make coffee,
okay.
Among other things. I also learned how to repent. I was sitting, I remember, and no shade to like, this was a good part of my life. I do have to say, like, this did bring me a lot of friends and like, before I had very many. So that was that. But I do remember like sitting... This actually, so I did it the summer before college, and then I did it the summer after college. So summer after college, I'm like sitting at this camp, and we're doing like the normal, like the prayer, and then like the circle where you go around and share things you want to get off your chest, and like want to offer it up to God and mm-hmm. for Him to forgive you, whatever. And I remember sitting around the circle, and I'm hearing like what these like girls and guys are saying, and I'm like, oh my God, like, am I the only non-virgin in this group? Or like, I was like, I am a hoe.
Like, oh, wow, everybody was going around being like, I'm a virgin.
Well, not even that.
Or I kissed a boy.
Just the things that they were repenting for. I was just like feeling very guilty. And I'm like, should I like tell someone, or should I, does everyone think
like, are we all just like operating on the idea that like we're all virgins? I don't know. That was just something I remember I've taken away from it, that I was sitting there like a feeling like a hoe. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I did a bad thing. I was supposed to save it, I guess. But too late, like, now. Like, too late now.
Whenever I would go to confession, we had to do that in religious ed. And I did that all throughout my childhood. Like, my parents wanted me to get my confirmation so that I could get married in the church if I wanted to, whatever. And whenever I had to go to confession, we did it, I think, once a year when we were in CCD. And I would just lie, which is a sin.
Well, I feel like that happens more.
I would be like, jumped on my sister's bed or something, like something so stupid.
Sinning in the confessional.
Yep.
Colby the Catholic.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I have a vivid memory of just sitting around and these people are speaking and praying, and I could never pray out loud. I was really bad at that. Like, I got such stage fright, but like one person in the group would like take the prayer for the morning or for the, like, before we ate and whatnot, before bed, we'd all pray. And I would just be listening to the things they're saying. And I'm like, okay, when is it going to be done? Okay, another one. We have another line. I'm like, how are they coming up with this stuff? That's the thing about me. I really tried. But when it came to like repenting in front of the group and like things that you're taking, like that you're offering up to God, I was just listening to this person was like, I got really angry the other day because I hadn't eaten yet. Offer it up to God. Wow.
It's a sin. You're speaking in front of a group. It's a sin to be angry,
I guess. Well, I guess, I don't know. I can't remember specifically, but I just remember thinking,
it's a sin to be angry.
I just remember thinking, this group of people, they are so pure.
They definitely were lying.
Well, I'm just, or, I was like,
or getting things off their chest that they felt comfortable saying in front of people.
And we would just like give snaps. snap, offer it up to God. It just felt kind of like, I mean,
God forgives you for being hangry.
I believe what I believe, and I've had a complicated relationship with like religion growing up because my parents weren't super religious. Then I became myself very religious, yeah, and like went to all this church stuff and, you know, really, really wanted to be a part of this thing. And then looking back, I'm like, you know, the base of it, believing in something, I think is important, like whatever you believe in. Like something in this life that like keeps you going, even if it's believing in nothing, that's still believing, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is important. And I'm like glad that I went through it. But I also look back and I'm like, some of that stuff was really culty. Like people would outwardly like coach you to recruit new members. And it felt like, yes, ideally, you know, or in their minds, it's like, oh, we're recruiting people to like be saved. But then you think about it and I'm like, it was like some of the techniques, like bribery, it felt very culty to me.
Well, it's also so interesting that you're referencing this because I remember it was kind of like a club. The camp that you're referencing from when we were growing up, and then also like just,
yeah,
like the church that we would all go to and the specific, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it was like a cool thing to do, yeah, or like not. And it was like, oh, that's those kids. And we'd like call them like, or call us like, that's that group.
Yeah.
And it just, I know it like had the core of it was good, I guess. But it also, like looking back, I'm like, I like was petrified to do anything wrong that would get me kicked out of the cult.
Yeah.
You know,
I was like scared of the church group because I was like the cool kids. Yeah. Were in the church group. And I was,
we
like,
did not have that. But I was so scared of my permanent record, which is just simply not a thing.
Wait, what? Just the concept of a permanent record?
Yeah. Like my parents would always be like, you can't get in trouble. Like, if you get detention, it's going to be on your permanent record.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my parents everything. Used to say some similar stuff.
So this is not religious. This is, like, school?
Or no, what? It's just, like, life.
Oh, just, okay.
We did not have, like, a religious group.
Just had permanent records.
Yeah, my permanent record was the thing that was on my mind.
Where is the permanent record now, like, for each of us? Like, is it in, do they keep that stuff? Like, is it in, like,
I don't think it's even a thing. I think parents just, like, make it up.
Wait, what even is a permanent record? This is like shattering my brain right now.
Your parents never told you about that?
Well, yeah, no. Oh, no, they did.
Yeah.
And like every teacher I've ever had, or like any person in like a state of power would be like, this will go, that'll go in your permanent record.
Right.
But what even is a permanent record?
I don't know.
Is it a piece of paper? Is it a folder that they, you see in the movies that they bring out of the filing cabinet and like,
it's fictional.
It's just a hypothetical, I guess.
Well, like, I feel like when you're in like middle and high school, your permanent record is like what your goes against card. You. Yeah. If you try to get into college or something like that, they're like, this is going to go against
Like your permanent. Like if you record. Get in trouble for cheating or something.
Right.
It reminds me of She's the Man.
Yeah.
Is there a scene, am I making this up, where in She's the Man, she has like the boob wrap on to keep her boobs down?
Yeah.
And she's like trying to get in the cabinet with the bald principal guy, and the boob thing gets stuck in the cabinet, and you know what I mean?
Amanda Bynes pushes it to come
out, and it's like stuck in there, and she's like, she's trying to get a file out to like change something. Am I making this up, please, someone?
No, like, I could see that.
Oh my God.
I haven't watched that movie in far too long. I love that movie.
Yeah, but I like remember.
I want to watch it today now. That's like maybe on my agenda. I don't remember that scene though, so I feel like in the dark.
I was thinking that Amanda Bynes was trying to get her permanent record.
Oh.
So, but who even, it's an enigma.
Interesting.
Permanent records.
We'll confirm. We'll watch the movie later today and circle back.
Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam.
Girls, how we doing?
Great.
We're good on this fine Wednesday. Colby and I just had a lovely walk down the West Side Highway. Colby and I always be running into each other whenever we're about to go on a walk.
We do.
I was actually tracking you both, and I was wondering if you would collide. I saw your little dots moving.
We collided much earlier than normal.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
AKA in front of my building.
Unexpectedly.
It's hot as balls outside. I know. Like, it's like so gross.
This heat wave is really killing my vibe.
I was talking about this to somebody yesterday at the office, because like now I kind of have to like, I don't have to dress up as that much, but like I am selling to like lawyers now who are always in these like full suits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to like wear this shit to work when it's 95 degrees in the city, there's no wind,
right?
I'm just walking outside in the sun. I literally showed up to the office yesterday like a sweaty mess, like, ugh, I was drenched.
That's the worst.
Terrible.
The worst feeling that you have to like sit there and then like,
yeah, can't. Well, actually, it's so Colby and I went to Barry's yesterday, and I literally texted Colby and I was like, bro, I'm gonna think I'm gonna have to Uber to the office. I was like a 10-minute walk, and I was like, standing, I gotta get
down,
an Uber.
Well, standing down waiting for the subway too.
Colby a couple weeks ago was making a joke to me. I was like, oh, what are you up to this weekend? And she's like, oh, I think I'm just gonna go kayak on the Hudson. And she's like, do the free kayaking on the Hudson or whatever. And I was in my head, I'm like, why the fuck are you doing that? Like, should I tell her that she's gonna get sick? But I didn't want to yuck her yum, so
was that
I was
a fib?
Yeah,
that was obviously.
Well, I don't know, Colby. You've been doing some things. You do some things these days.
I literally was like offended that you thought that I was actually going to do that. I thought that you immediately were going to be like, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, Adam, I'm obviously joking.
No, I replied. I was like, OMG, so fun. Have a great time.
Yeah.
Adam's going to support you no matter what.
Adam literally said, OMG, how fun. I was like, you are not thinking that. And also, I'm kidding.
You should have said, are they maybe not done building the pool? The pool on the East River that they're building?
Oh,
in the middle.
My God. Oh, wait,
did they start building that?
I think I saw.
That is just one other unnecessary thing. We didn't need a beach, and we don't need a pool.
I think, and I was actually thinking about it, because I was on the way on the way home from LaGuardia last night, and I saw like construction happening on the East River, and I'm like, I think that that's them making the pool. I don't think it's going to be open till next summer.
Okay.
Not that I will be going, most likely. I just feel like that water is just like, there's like, I've said this before, like dead bodies in there still.
Yeah,
like
it's scary,
gross stuff. Anyway, but I was thinking, I'm like, you know what, this is the city trying to combat the fact that all of us just leave in the summer. Like, we leave, we go, at least for the weekends, we're like going places to get away from the humidity, therefore damaging the businesses, I guess, that are trying to like sell things. I don't know. I was like, I guess that's like their way of doing that. But I'm like, our tax dollars could be used in so many other ways.
Yeah, like make the subway not be delayed.
Horrible. Yeah.
The subway, they need to be like, the subway people need to be paid more, I think.
Yeah.
So then they will maybe, I don't know if it's up to them, but like, the trains.
Yeah, the crazy people punching people in the face off the street.
Yeah.
Don't build a pool.
That's an issue.
Anyway. But alas, here we are with a pool and a beach.
Anyway.
And speaking of pools and beaches, Kathy, welcome back from the Bahamas.
Yeah, you had a lovely vacation.
I was a Bahama mama.
Give us
a
rundown.
Bahama mama.
For 4 nights and 5 days, and it was the perfect amount of time, I have to say. Like, that was I mean, obviously I could have done longer, but I think at that point I was like, I've done enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful weather. It's hurricane season there right now. So of course I find out this information when we land. And you know who told me? The freaking plane pilot, the pilot on the plane. We land and he's like, well, weather could be better, I guess. He, like, over the loudspeaker, he's like, weather could be better, cloudy, chance of rain. You know, we're in hurricane season, so the next few days look eh. I'm like, you're telling this to a group of people that just landed in the Bahamas, most of which are going on vacation.
Right.
What? He yucked my yum.
That's a yuck of a killer. Yum, for sure.
But he was wrong, because the forecast, as it does in all these tropical places, it shifted. Like, it, at first it said it was just going to be clouds, and then two of the days were cloudy, and then three of the days were beautiful. So I'll take it.
Okay. So you had a good trip.
Weather was good.
What's notable events, occurrences?
There was a bit of a meltdown on the golf course that I would like to discuss, because it was not my shining moment. And I think on this podcast, it's important to share the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So we're in the ugly zone.
Yes. Well, at first and foremost, the trip was amazing. It was technically like a half work trip, half fun trip. Like, I was working on the trip towards a project that I'm going to be posting eventually. But overall, it was like, it was Jack and I's like first trip that was like truly a couple, like vacation, like feeling romantic trip. And it was very romantic, like very, I just felt like I had no cares besides like the work things I had to do. I was just like, it's just so, and I just feel so happy with him that I'm like, everything was great. I got so much beef tenderloin. They had a bunch of beef tenderloin at this resort. I don't know. They had all these different kinds. Like, I was living, me and my red meat.
I'm dying.
Wait, I love Jack's Instagram story where it was like, Katie handshake beef tenderloin.
Also the fact that you are eating beef tenderloin for every meal in the Bahamas in June. It's hilarious.
I love beef tenderloin. Anyway, so that was like a highlight. And no, I just, like, I was like just looking at Jack. I'm like, this is my person. This is great. Aww. Life is good. Until we hit the golf course. So I knew going into this trip, like, he wanted to go golfing. It was one of these famous resorts on the ocean. And I was looking at pictures and I'm like, this is actually beautiful. And like, I could get a cute fit. I can work this into my content too. So like, this is good. Like, I've never been golfing before, but I can make this work. It's only 18 holes, you know.
Easy.
And he was like, yeah, the other weekend I went in Virginia, I did 18 holes in 2.5 hours. I'm like, 2.5 hours? That's nothing. Like, we did it first thing in the morning. And at first, like, spirits were high. Like, the golf course, I will say, they got mad at me because I wasn't wearing a collar. Oh. So that was a whole thing.
Oh, you literally get in trouble for not wearing a collar?
On certain courses.
There's a dress code.
But they did not tell me the dress code when I booked the experience. Like, yeah. I read all the fine print I could have read, and they did not say that. So that was something. But I had this like cute little cardigan that I wrapped around my shoulders. Like, it was fine. But the lady was like, she cannot wear that on the course. And imagine like hearing that, like, your first time ever going to a golf course. Like, it was definitely a dagger to the heart, because my little Spanx dress was so cute. But we got through it. So
at least they let you go. When that happened to me at my dad almost knocked the guy out because they said my skirt was too short. And he couldn't golf. He literally spun the golf cart around and was like, are you serious, dude? And, like, pulled away.
Did they let you?
And, like, literally was, like, so annoyed. No.
Wait, what?
He was like, these are my daughters. And I went to the PGA store that day because my dad really wanted to take his golfing. I don't know why. We were only playing 9 holes. And I bought a golf skirt. Like, sorry, my legs are longer than...
Yeah,
normal people.
No, I think that was like,
I was not allowed on.
That was leg discrimination.
Yeah,
long leg discrimination.
Wait, this is the first time I'm hearing that golf courses are so strict about.
Yeah,
I've never played, I guess, real golf. So
no, me neither. So I learned that. So word to the wise: if you're going golfing for the first time, figure out the dress code. Whatever. So we got through it, and ultimately, I took off my sweater. They did not care. They didn't chase me down. So I think it's just, as you know, get away from like where they
once
were.
Once you're out of the clubhouse,
exactly. So. Anyway, that was just like the first thing that I was like, okay, gonna shake that off. That was kind of aggressive, but whatever. So we go to like the driving range, and I'm putting around, and I was having fun. I was like, this is actually really, like, I feel like I could get into this, like, you know. Then, so we go through, we're playing with a group, because it's like they pair you with other golfers, so it's a group of four technically. But there was like this other guy, and then this guy and his kid. And the little kid was cute, and I was like, oh great, a kid's playing. awesome because I don't know. And the thing was, I wasn't going to like hit the long shots. I was just going to do the putting. Mm-hmm. So like whenever, when the guys got their balls to like near the hole, mm-hmm. I would then put my ball down and like pretend. And well, it wasn't pretend. Like yeah. I kept score of my own, but.
Did you use a chipper?
I used a putter.
You just were on the green.
What's a chipper?
Like, well, sometimes if you're like in the sand trap or in the long grass oh, yeah. before you get to yeah. the green.
Yeah. So they actually gave me my own clubs, which is cute. Aww. They were pink, of course. Anyway, so that was fine. And I was having such a great time. And then I look at the number of holes we have left and we're only on hole 4. And it's been an hour.
And you guys are playing 18.
Yes. And I'm just thinking to myself, and the weather was starting to turn. It was a beautiful day. I'm like, I could be on the beach right now. But I was like, Jack was so excited. He was having such a great time. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like hang in there. I'm like, you know. And I like put sunscreen on and he's having me walk. And it was cart path only, which I learned is that you, when you like hit your ball and it goes like way out, in cart path only, you can't take the cart to get your ball. You have to walk. Oh. So like it was a lot of walking, which is why it ended up, long story short, it ended up taking us 5.5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
On a golf course. I'm wearing these cute aloe high socks. So per my discussion on the podcast, how I was going to focus on tanning my legs.
Yeah.
So I tried to do that and I just didn't put sunscreen on at first. And then I eventually put sunscreen on. So I put it on. I like let myself like raw dog the sun for a bit.
Yeah.
But my legs had not seen the sun. So it was brutal. I start, like, I'm already kind of having, like, a bit of, like, an anxiety attack that I'm, like, still here after, like, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hungry and there's not, like, I really, like, got in my own head. And I also, like, when I was putting, the other guys were watching me and I got really stressed about, like, the dads watching me because yeah. they were giving me pointers. They were like, just let the club do the work. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this club and put it up your butt. Like, yeah. I was just getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And Jack was like, hey, like, he was just trying to like help me and I was not having it. Like, I was so frustrated and I like could feel myself getting angry. And I was like, Katie, bring yourself back down to earth. You're on a beautiful golf course. There's the ocean right there. Like, chill out. But I like got so in my head about being mad. And then I sit in the golf cart and I'm like, wow, my ankles, like my legs are kind of itching. And I just pull down my sock and I'm like, holy fuck. I have the worst sock burn known to man. And then I start hyperfixating on my burn. So everyone's pissing me off. I got in trouble for not wearing a collar. And these middle-aged men are trying to tell me how to golf. And I don't know how to golf because I've never had a lesson in my right. life. And like it all just built up and it bubbled up. And then I just give Jack.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses.
So a lot of us know that shopping for dad, shopping for boyfriend, shopping for men is very tough. Last Christmas, I was kind of freshly dating Jack and didn't really know what to get him. So I went to Uncommon Goods and I got him an Arsenal book. That's his soccer team that he supports. And it's a collection of different news printings from the past 50 years of Arsenal's history. So it was really great gift. He loved it. I also got him a customized candle and I got my dad a whiskey creating kit. Like you can DIY your own whiskey. There's a ton of good stuff on there.
Uncommon Goods has the most meaningful out of the ordinary gifts on the market. And like Katie said, they even have gifts that you can personalize. Uncommon Goods will be at Grand Central Holiday Fair in Vanderbilt Hall and Grand Central Terminal in New York City, November 11th through December 24th. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/matchmade. That's uncommongoods.com/matchmade for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Happy holidays.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
The silent treatment. I'm like, nothing I say right now will be kind. So I just cross my arms in the golf cart with my stupid golf sock burn. And I'm just like, whatever. The only word that was coming out of my mouth was, whatever.
Oh my God. This sounds like my nightmare.
And then, so Jack can tell that I'm pissed. And I felt so bad for being pissed, but I was fucking pissed. Yeah. The sock burn was really pissing me off. And I think that's what really like put me over the edge. Like I was already frustrated. And then like, I wasn't having fun, but I could see he was having fun. So I was trying to be positive. And then I saw the sock burn and I was like, my world is over. Like this is, do you know how much work is going to have to go into reversing this? Like this is going to be the end of me. And this is only day 2 of 5 on vacation.
Right.
Like I have to, oh my God. Like I was just spiraling. I'm like, I can't wear my cute midi dress anymore. And my cute little heels that I planned. And I'm like freaking out.
You're going to have to be in like Nike mid-calf the rest of the trip.
No, I know. And so then I'm like spiraling. And Jack goes, he's like, well, you know, that would have happened if you were on the beach or in the golf cart. And I go, don't you fucking dare. If I were on the beach, I would have a normal burn and not one with a sock involved. I say that to him.
I am so happy I was not in the same country as that attitude. Same.
I would have felt that dude from like miles away.
He looks at me and he goes, okay. And then he just gets out of the cart and goes and putts and whatever. And then I was like, wow, I've done it. I freaked out on a golf course in the Bahamas. I've done it. I've really done it. Anyway, so we finally end. Then we get back up to the clubhouse, and there's this bus that was going to take us back to our resort. And the bus is there waiting for us and like other people that were also going back to the resort. And Jack goes, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom really quick. And I'm like, but the bus. And he's like, it'll wait. He goes to the bathroom. The bus pulls away. It leaves. The next one won't be back for 15 minutes. No. I just stand there and I'm just like, he comes out of the bathroom.
Gotten on the bus.
No, he comes. I should have just gotten on myself. Yeah. He comes out of the bathroom. He goes, where'd it go? I'm like, it left. I was so mad. Livid. Then this, like, so we're sitting there for 15 minutes in silence because he knows not to speak to me because nothing he could say would make me feel better. I really just needed to eat. I was hangry as hell. So we get back to the hotel. I storm into our room, throw my stuff down. I'm like, you know what? This day is over. Like, I'm just going to do some work, I guess. And he goes, he's looking at me and I can tell he's just panicking. And then I start to realize, I'm like, you know what? I'm being such a dick right now. Like,
okay, you came back down to earth.
I came back down to earth and I pretty much just go over to him and I'm like, okay, I'm frustrated right now. I am mad. I'm in a terrible mood, but I love you. Let's go get some food.
Yeah.
And he goes, he hugs me. He's like, there she is. But I could just tell he was panicking for like at least 6 holes.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad looking back on it now, but I learned the hard way that I'm just not, golf is, it takes too long. 18 holes.
In your defense, if I was on a golf course for 5.5 hours and I had nothing to eat and I was sunburnt and I was just not having, and I was like having people mansplain to me how to golf, like I would similarly be very frustrated and probably escort myself out. I'd probably just be like,
I would have just sat myself down.
Yeah, I would have been like, I'm going to post up in the golf cart.
So I would have gone back to the clubhouse.
No, that's the thing. Drinks. In hindsight, I should have just done 9 holes with him and taken the shuttle back to the hotel and been like, all right, bye. Have fun. Right. I'll see you later. So I now know my fault, like what I fucked up.
Well, now you know
on.
For the future, if you go golfing again, if you even feel the need to go golfing again, maybe this is like
go to the driving
the
range.
End for you.
I think I'm a bit scarred, but I like the idea. I think it was a bad, like the group wasn't great. There wasn't any other girls.
Yeah.
Like I just felt like I was really stressed. Like I was high stressed the entire time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun for me.
I mean, if it's your first time golfing and you have a bunch of dads mansplaining how you should be golfing and just staring at you while you're trying to do it, I would similarly be very upset, frustrated, not
anyway,
happy.
So I had a bit of a meltdown on the golf course, but other than that, it was good. I went snorkeling.
Okay, good. So you had one blip on
one,
the trip.
One blip. So I forced Jack to go snorkeling because he forced me to go golfing. So
yeah, you were like, this is my...
And Jack notoriously doesn't like open water. He's very nervous around, like, when I say open water, like putting the anchor down in the middle of the ocean and just like jumping off. Like, that's his idea.
That's very British of him. I feel like a lot of Europeans don't like that, I think. Well, I think it's a thing.
Yeah, he's not used to, like, that or going to the beach or anything like that. Like, this is all very new to him because he, like, doesn't do that or didn't do that growing up. Like, their vacations weren't, like, beach vacations. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but I was excited to go snorkeling. And after the golf fiasco, I'm like, he's like, whatever you want. Whatever you want. So we went snorkeling, and it was actually really cool. Like, we went, like, it was, like, over a reef, a coral reef, and we got to see the fish. But, of course, I'm like, okay, Jack, like, jump off. Like, we have our snorkeling gear on. I'm like, just don't let the tube go under, because then you, like, can't breathe. Like, don't breathe through your nose. Breathe through your mouth, the tube. And we're just on the surface of the water. You don't have to go, like, deep, obviously. He has this thing on his face, and I could tell. He's, like, getting in the water, and he's like, yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be fun. This is going to be great. He, like, couldn't figure out how to do the tube. And, like, it was just a whole thing. And I'm like, okay, go back on the boat. Go back on the boat. He's like, no, I want... He's like, I want to do this because it'll make you happy. And I'm like, get back on the boat. So, anyway, we both did things that we didn't love. But other than that, it was a great trip.
Did he have a meltdown?
Well, not really, no. He didn't act like I acted.
Jack is cool, calm, collected.
Yeah, of course. So, oh, my God, he was, like, laughing about it. I'm like, why couldn't I do that? Like, it took me a few hours. Then I could laugh. I had to eat a hamburger first after the golf, and then I could laugh about it.
Did you guys, did they not give you snacks on the course?
Yeah, did they not have, like, the club car that comes around with the drinks?
They had that, but it, like, wasn't
like a cheeseburger. It was like a bar.
It wasn't great. It was like, I got a bag of pretzels. That's not enough to sustain me for 6 hours on a golf course.
No, yeah, I wouldn't survive.
But nonetheless, it really strengthened our relationship, I would say, because we both had, like, panic moments and then had to coach each other through them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, other than that, it was really great. I was a bit disappointed we didn't make any friends, but...
No trip friends?
There was, like, one couple, but it just seemed like everyone there wasn't really interested in mingling.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it was a very... Like, I went to this resort on work, so it was paid for, but it was, like, a really, really bougie place. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I, like, have more... I mean, it was gorgeous, and I loved it, and now I feel spoiled. But I feel like when you go to, like, maybe a lower scale... I don't even want to say lower scale, just, like, not... $2,000 a night, you know, people are nicer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or just, like, more, like,
they
wanting
don't keep to themselves as
wanting
much
to mingle. I don't want to generalize, but I'm like,
well, I also feel like a lot of these, like, more expensive resorts, I don't know, you go to, like, get away from everything.
True.
And not, and, like, kind of just be in your own little bubble.
Right.
And I also feel like, I don't know, when I was younger, I would want to mingle and meet a bunch of people on vacation. And we used to make so many vacation friends growing up, like, on our little trips. I think I said, like, whenever we go on vacation, it's 15 of us and it's my cousins and my siblings. And so we would, like, go out and make vacation friends and stuff. But now that I'm older, like, the trip that we just went on to Mexico, I did not want to meet a single person or go out. And my siblings were like, we need to go out to the club and, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, I'm sitting right here. Like, I'll go have a couple shots with you guys. I'm then going to bed.
Oh, I can't even do that. I just... beach in bed.
Yeah
I'm like so not on the going out train on vacation anymore, but that being said, like, I feel like it used to be so fun when you're growing up.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It is an age thing too.
Like, I still follow people on Instagram that are like vacation friends from growing out.
It's so weird.
I'm like, should I unfollow you? I literally have no idea who you are.
Yeah, we literally don't know each other.
Actually, one of my vacation friends from growing up recently asked me for a job. He, like, slid into my LinkedIn, or no, he slid into my Insta DMs, and he's like, hey, I know we, like, or Matt, or whatever, connected on LinkedIn. I saw you were going to this new company. Like, would you be able to refer me?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
You never know. They circle back.
Okay. Well,
vacation friends.
There was this one when we first got there. There was this, I thought it was a wedding. They were all wearing white. I was like, what's going on? Or, like, a reception, not a reception, a welcome party. But it ended up being, it was the husband and wife's 85th birthday. I guess they were both, like, they turned 85 the same year. So they did, like, a big, like, family reunion to celebrate their parents turning 85.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, it's adorable.
I want to, like, I was just looking around. There was, like, also some, like, moments where we were, like, at restaurants with, like, we'd see, like, a large table of, like, clearly people that were all related. They, like, looked related. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to go on big vacations when I'm older.
Yeah.
Like, with my whole family. Like, I only go on immediate family vacations. Like, just my mom, dad, and my sister. Like, that's so cool that you do that.
Yeah.
With your family.
Yeah, that is fun.
And like, we used to, like, sometimes go with, like, my parents' friends, families, and stuff like that, and do, like, big, like, huge trips. I feel like it's just more fun, you know, when there's
so much
more
fun.
Heads.
You don't get sick of each other because it's, like, more people.
Yeah. Well, it's also more fun for the parents because the children entertain themselves.
Yeah.
Send them all off together.
That's so true.
That's also like how we met people, I feel like, when we were met our vacation friends growing up, is our parents would just like ship us off to the teen club or whatever.
Right.
And be like, have at it.
The under 18?
No, literally. Yeah. I mean, there I think there was like a kids club when we were super young that was under 18s. And then it was the over 18s, like the 18 to 22s or whatever. And that was like the young adult club or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you're shipped off. It's just like an opportunity to like meet people that are your age, kind of.
Yeah. There were a lot of, like, we went into town for one dinner and there was a lot of, like, people coming off the cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the cruise ship and I'm like, the one that we saw was like a Carnival one and it had like a roller coaster on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that is just crazy. I was thinking though, like, for a while I was very anti-cruise ship. And I think it's truly because, like, my grandparents go on a lot of cruises. So I just associated it with like an older crowd. But now I'm seeing like a lot of people like posting going on cruises like our age, and I'm like, that looks kind
of
nice.
I'm absolutely terrified of cruises. Like, you cannot convince me that a boat is able to float with all of those people and a roller coaster.
You're like, the math is not math.
It does not make sense to me, and I can't.
Are you like Titanic relating or relating it to the Titanic?
I guess maybe, but scared. It just. Yeah, and my claustrophobia, I associate it with, like, being very, like, tight and, like, I would feel trapped.
Yeah.
Even though the boat is huge, obviously.
Yeah.
But I look at them in the port, and that's enough for me to be freaked out. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't get there mentally.
I feel like
it's a very good opportunity to see a lot of different places.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like that's the benefit of a cruise. If you do, like, one of those, like, European ones, it takes you to a bunch of different cities in Spain or like whatever, and allows you to kind of like go off the ship for a day and explore the surrounding area.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of, it feels organized.
Yeah,
in that way, like there's like organized, like they'll have like certain events during the day, like, and it's all like on an itinerary.
Yeah.
And that just like scratches an itch in my brain. Like I love an itinerary.
There's a new thing that is from the Four Seasons, and they're doing a Four Seasons jet. So it's essentially a cruise, but you are on a private jet and it just flies to different Four Seasons resorts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, cool.
Well, it's $137,000 a person.
Per person?
Yeah.
Colby. Why you gotta tempt me like that?
It's crazy.
Well, Jeff Bezos can send like all of us.
Right.
We just need to find him. We need to rub shoulders,
stops it said that it made and how long it was.
Wow.
But
I mean, that's like a great concept, but whoa.
Yeah.
Only certain kinds of people.
I can't even imagine the people that you would be around.
Yeah.
On such a trip.
It's giving
they
White Lotus.
They definitely would not be talking.
It's giving White Lotus. Every time I go on vacation now, I equate it to White Lotus.
Oh, I love
White Lotus. Or like beach vacation. Jack hasn't seen White Lotus. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's a red flag. He's gotta watch.
No, it's so good.
Can you believe? I feel like everyone's seen White Lotus at this point.
I kind of want to rewatch the first season.
I've heard that the new one is somewhere like not.
I think it's in Egypt or like somewhere in the Middle East.
Oh, I thought it was in like Indonesia or something.
Oh, in Asia? I thought they were doing it in the Middle East.
Yeah, I thought it was in Asia.
Maybe you're right. I'm definitely not up to date on the interworkings of the White Lotus seasons.
Oh, it's in, I don't know how to say this. I always say it wrong.
Phuket.
Yep, that.
Yeah.
Phuket, it's not fuck it.
Fuck it.
Phuket and Bangkok.
Fuck it, I'm going to Phuket.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I want to go to Asia so bad.
Oh, it's one of those places that I have kind of, or I said this before on the podcast, like on my bucket list, is to go skiing in Japan, because more so because like that side of the world is kind of a place where I can't envision myself actually making it to.
Well, yeah, I mean, also when you go, you have to dedicate like 2 weeks,
right?
Because the time difference
and
is
where
substantial.
Would I find that time?
Yeah,
and the airfare is so crazy.
I'm glad I did Asia when I was in college, because I feel like that was just a time when I had nothing else to focus on for a month except for just being in Asia.
Right. Oh my God, the flight freaks me out.
Well, the flight, my ankles blew up because I took like a sleep aid and passed out for the entire flight. So I was out. I didn't walk around. It was 19 hours.
Ugh.
That's like a full day. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I slept that long.
That freaks me out.
It was like right after New Year's Eve. So I was kind of hungover and tired and all of that. And I woke up and I couldn't put my shoes back on because my ankles were so big.
Ugh.
And they didn't go. I couldn't even go to the club that night. My ankles were so big, they wouldn't fit in my heels. I couldn't go to the club in Asia that night. Anyway.
That was like my biggest regret of college, is not studying abroad. I wish I did it so badly.
Yeah.
I was worried I'd have FOMO. But it's okay. I feel like we travel a lot as an adult, so I'm kind of making up lost time.
Yeah, we really do. My abroad semester was a year in Alabama. That's what my parents always say.
A year in Alabama. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Glad you had a good trip, Kathy.
Thank you. What did you guys do this weekend? Fill me in. I was seeing bits and pieces of things that were going on.
Well, Friday, I feel like, was kind of like a funny day for us.
No, I'm like jealous of Friday. It looked so fun.
It was so random. Like, we had plans to go to drinks, and one of our friends was on a date prior to the drinks. So it was like a first date, I think. And then she met us at the drinks. The date went well. And I guess the guy had said, hey, you and all of your friends can come to my friend's birthday party that happens to be in Tribeca, which we were in Tribeca. And I was pissed because I, of course, already had another birthday party that I had to go to.
Of course you did.
As Adam does. And I didn't want to tell her that because I was like, oh, she really wants us to be able to accompany her to this birthday party. And I'm not going to be able to go.
Me, handshake, beef tenderloin. Adam, handshake, birthday party. Colby, handshake. Fill in the blank.
Going for a walk.
Walking 60 trillion steps a day.
I think that's actually, that is Colby handshake, walking excessively.
At least a half marathon a day.
Anyway, okay, back to that.
But so she like is like, should we go? Like, should we all just go to this birthday party? It's like six of us basically. And we're like, does this dude care that we're about to roll up with like 100 people to this birthday? And I guess he gives us the RSVP link. And so one of our friends RSVP is with a plus one to the thing. So, and she's a very distinct name. So it's like literally her distinct name and a plus one on this RSVP list. So we can see where it is. And then also just a list of people going to see if we have any mutuals. And of course, no, not a single person on that list. But we're like, fuck it. Like, this is one of those crazy nights where we like should just like go.
Adam, I'm dying that you're the one telling the story when you didn't even go.
I was going to pass it over to you since I didn't go. You're right, but I was a part of it until I didn't go.
You are setting it up very well.
Yeah, you are.
I set it up to pass it to you because you're the one who actually experienced the story. I just get roasted on this podcast nonstop.
I was just thinking, you were like, we have to go to this birthday party.
Well, I did like, say that. I was like, we do have to go. But I like in my head had admitted that I wasn't going to be able to go yet. But I was like encouraging on the side. Anyways, I'm just going to pass it off to Colby at this point. Adam,
you're doing great, sweetie. We love you. We love you.
No, so then we all get up and we go to this party. And as we're walking in, the happy birthday starts going. Like, they're singing.
The song.
And they were making toasts to this guy. I think it was like his 30th birthday or something. There's a slideshow that is put together. Our friend gets a text from the guy who she had gone on a date with. And he was like, actually, come at like 11:15, they're like cutting cake right now. Meanwhile, we had spotted where he was, the back of his head, and I was walking up with her to beeline to him, and we're like, what do we do? And then he ended up seeing us, and it was so awkward.
He was like, wait, come later, as you're already there.
Yeah, we were literally beelining towards him.
Oh no.
And so then, whatever, they were cutting the cake, the toasts were quick, and then we said hi to the guy. And I ended up walking home after like 20 minutes because I was over it. It was a fun night. It was funny.
That's interesting.
Wait, though. So I'm curious. When you guys walked in, since obviously I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what happened. When you guys walked in, were they looking towards the door? So like everybody at this party saw you guys walking in?
No, the slideshow was on the back wall.
The slideshow.
Okay, so people were facing the other way.
They were facing the other way, but then we were weaving through the crowd to go find the guy.
Yeah.
So as we were walking through, people were looking at us like, who are these random girls?
Right.
But I don't know if everybody who was even, it did seem like everybody that was there kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
So we stood out.
You know what? Makes for a good story.
Yeah.
You supported our friend who wanted to see this guy again.
I know. We walked right by my apartment and
You were tempted?
No, I was hell-bent on going home, like, from the bar, because I am having a dermatitis outbreak on my face. And when I was at the bar, I was sitting there, and I was so uncomfortable, and I also was like, this thing is all over my face, like, I don't want to go to a party with, like, a bunch of random people that I don't know. Like, my face looks, like, ridiculous. Like, I'm so uncomfortable in my own skin right now. Like, I just want to go home and, like, wash my face and hide in my bed. But then I ended up staying out, and I'm happy I did because it was funny, but
yeah, I think if anything makes for a funny story, which is good. I had nothing close to that. I literally went to that birthday party and we were out until 3 a.m. Yeah, it's kind of funny because Colby and I, so we were with this girl who lives in my building earlier, right?
Today.
When I ran into Colby earlier today. And so I go, oh my God, like, so good to see you again. And I was referencing how that night I was like, oh, I told Colby that I ran into you on the elevator on Friday night. And she was like, wait, what are you talking about? Because me and my roommates got home at like 2:30 a.m.
Was she blacked out?
I guess so. Yeah.
She was like, I had no idea that that happened.
I was like, girl, I hugged you. We caught up. I introduced you to the roomies. She was like, Adam, what are you talking about? This did not happen.
So funny.
Alcohol is a crazy thing, man. It's crazy when you think about all the memories that you've made that, and I'm not even an excessive drinker anymore, but back in college I'm referring to, it's like there were nights where I'm like, I think I had fun. I can't quite remember what happened.
I know. I'm glad we got that under control because when I think back to like the college years, I'm like,
no, I now I unwell. Remember every night. Like there's maybe a 5 second span of time where I'm like, whoa, that shot just hit me.
Yeah.
But then you're like, okay, I can handle myself.
Yeah, I would definitely not be able to be self-sufficient the way that I used to live in college.
No.
I would not.
No. No. Also, when I think back to the amount of people that had to take care of me in college because I was such a psycho, like, it disgusts me, honestly. Like, I need to go send a present to all of the people who have taken care of me in college when I was crazy.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's just like...
We've grown up. That's life. We're good now.
That's life, man.
Katie, guess what I did?
What did you do?
I went on a date.
What?
I had to produce. I did tell Colby, though.
When?
On Monday.
Rue, when was this? Rue, on a Monday.
On a Monday. A Monday date.
The club went up on a Monday.
The club did go up on a Monday.
Okay, tell me everything.
So this guy is very invisible string situation for me. So basically, I got dinner with two of my friends last week. And we were at Cafe Pana getting some ice cream. So we were standing in line.
Who are the friends?
Work friends. What relation? So friends from Figma.
Got it.
When I worked there.
Yes, I remember now.
Yep. You know them.
I do.
And so we were in line. And then all of a sudden, one of my friends like sees one of his friends in the distance and says his name. He's like, John Doe, like, or whatever, like, just like screams his first and last name. And I'm like, that name sounds so familiar. Like, I wonder why. And then the guy doesn't come over. He just kind of like waves and goes by. And I'm like, oh, that guy's actually kind of cute. And then my friend goes, wait, Adam, that's literally who I was trying to set you up with. And so he had been trying to set me up with him actually at his last birthday party like a year ago.
Really?
And then I'm like, wait, I thought his name sounded so familiar. And then I look and I'm like, on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy DM'd me on Instagram 2 years ago to ask me on a date. So in a year before.
How did you miss that?
I didn't miss it. So,
oh.
So it was, yeah. So 2 years ago, I guess at this point, this guy had seen me on TikTok or something and he slid into my DMs.
Ooh.
And asked me on a date.
Okay.
And at that point, I think I just, this may have been like right after kind of like my Voldemort situation potentially.
Fuck him.
Literally fuck him. Speaking of Voldemort, is liking all my Instagram stories recently.
Ugh. You got a block.
Just sliding back. I can't do that. So
he is the smallest man who ever lived.
Literally.
He is for sure. Anyways, back to my story. So 2 years ago, I looked back at my DMs and he had asked me on a date and I had said to him, I'm not dating right now. So I basically just said no. And then he replied back and he's like, oh, even if you just want to like maybe go as friends or whatever. And I just ignored that. So I completely ghosted this guy 2 years before. A year later is when my friend was trying to set me up with him and I had said no for X, Y, and Z reason, or maybe it just kind of fizzled off. And so then I'm like, oh, this guy is cute. I'm like looking through his Instagram. And then the next morning, after we had seen him at Cafe Pana, I see that this guy had unfollowed me and then refollowed me on Instagram. So he popped back up as like kind of the top on my list of people following me.
Strategic.
And I was like, oh shit, this is perfect. So I follow him back. I go back in my DMs. Of course, I see that the last messages are me 2 years ago completely ghosting this guy. And so I was like, I'll just like reply to him or send him a message or something like that.
Honestly, yeah. Bold of him to not unsend them.
I know for sure.
Well, would it unsend the ones you sent though? Like responding to him?
I don't know.
So I think that would just be like even worse.
But 2 years ago, he had been like, oh, I think I owe you a drink or something. Like maybe I was like giving him some kind of flirtatious banter, but ended up not agreeing to go on a date with him.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And so I messaged him.
Okay.
This last week at this point. And I was like, a little birdie told me you owe me a drink.
Ooh.
Like pulling back the message from 2 years ago.
Good work.
And so then we started chatting and then we set up a date for Monday. I'm like, you know, I'll go on a date with this guy because I thought he was cute. And so over the weekend, he was out in the Hamptons. And so I'm just like opening up my Raya And on my right, you know how it shows you when people are traveling?
Yep.
So it says, this person's name is in the Hamptons. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? This is so weird. Why is he on my Raya? And then I realized that he and I had matched on Raya like 2.5 years ago.
So like around the time that he slid in your DMs?
Yeah.
You also matched on Raya?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that so random?
Double confirmation that there's something there.
And then I
there.
Like scroll back in my messages because at this point it's like 2 years ago. So there's like so many people in there. So I'm scrolling back trying to find this man.
Did you ever message them?
He had messaged me on Raya.
Maybe
and I never replied.
Maybe that's how he found you though on Instagram.
He had referenced that he like saw one of my TikToks or something like that in like his original message.
So he was like, I'm really interested in this guy. Yeah. I'm going to match with him on Raya and slide in his DMs.
Exactly.
And you're still going to give him nothing.
An active pursuit.
Literally, yeah.
Two years ago, you gave him nothing.
I know. 2 years ago, I gave him absolutely nothing. So I was like, okay, this time around, I actually need to put in some effort and show this guy that, hey, I think you're cute. I'm interested.
Right.
And so he makes reservation at this place called the Swan Room. Have you guys been?
No.
Yeah, it's cute.
Oh, wait. It's at the place you had an event for Rebecca, I feel like. Nine Orchard. Didn't you guys have an event there? On the roof?
Yeah.
I'm potentially making that up. Sorry. But anyways.
Nine Orchard. Okay.
So it's Nine Orchard in the Lower East Side.
Swan Room is part of it.
Oh, I thought that you were going... I have been there, but I thought that you were going to the Golden Swan.
Oh, my God. This is all adding up to me now. So... an issue that I had is this date is on Monday. It's at 7:30 p.m. And so I stayed at the office and then I was like, perfect. I'm just going to go to the gym before the date. I'm going to get my workout in, which is my gym is on 23rd Street, which is an easy walk to the West Village.
Right.
Which is where I thought I was going this entire time.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going too.
So you just got confused.
I might have led you astray there.
Potentially.
When you told me where you were going, I was like, oh yeah, I went there.
Because I'm at the gym and I check my maps and I'm like, oh, I wonder how long it's going to take me to, or what streets this place is on in the West Village. It's in the depths of the Lower East Side, like could not be further away from where I was.
Times Square.
And I had allocated like enough time, just enough time for me to like go to the locker room, change, freshen myself up a little bit, and then walk down to the West Village. Did not have anywhere near enough time to get to this place on time in the Lower East Side, which is where
like
I actually was.
That was completely my fault.
So I actually think that I... similarly confused. I'm so funny because I didn't know why the fuck I thought it was in the West Village this entire time.
But Colby!
I guess it's because I thought I was going to the Golden Swan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's literally because I thought I was going to the Golden Swan and not the Swan Room.
Those names are very similar.
I agree. Completely confusing. Yeah. So anyways, I'm sprinting to this place. Meanwhile, it's the hottest week in the city. I show up to this date just like looking like a freaking sweaty ocean disaster.
No, you were probably glowing, glistening.
Oh, I was glistening, all right, but it wasn't the cute kind. And I was like just working out, so like I just looked a mess. But anyway, so this guy and I have a date for 2 hours.
Okay.
We have so much in common randomly.
Okay.
This is the kicker, Katie.
Yes.
We have so much in common. He does not ask me a single question about myself the entire 2 hours.
I was gonna say you have so much in common, but he doesn't know.
Anything about me. I literally, he kept saying,
no,
Katie, I have never experienced something like this. The entire time I was like, oh, if I don't ask him another question, there's going to be an awkward silence. It was just one of those things where I could tell.
Shit.
And so I was like, I cannot have an awkward silence with this guy. We had so much in common though. And I kept giving him opportunities to ask a question about me.
Yeah.
Like he would say something about how he had like three siblings or something like that. I was like, oh, I'm one of four also. Like my siblings are like XYZ. Would not ask a single follow-up question on it. I was like, bro, I'm giving you so much opportunity to just like ask some kind of question.
Jeez, some people just don't have that those cues, I guess. And it's kind of crazy that you can get to be a certain age and not know that you are really bad at asking people
even
about themselves.
Just literally, how about you?
Yeah.
Even though that is my biggest pet peeve is on a first date when you're asking a question and the only thing that they have to say is, oh, how about you?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
But even that.
But that's something.
Yeah.
Like if he was feeling awkward, maybe like, but that's something.
Well, to be honest, I thought it was because he wasn't interested in me. So I was like, okay, perfect. I just need to get through like an hour and a half of questioning this guy. So it's like enough time where it's not awkward for me to be like, all right, let's just get the check and dip.
Yeah. The interrogation.
Literally. So, but it lasted 2 hours of like me just asking some questions. But the thing is like, we had so much in common and I did think he was cute in person. So I was like, damn, this like actually could have gone kind of well. And at the end of the day, it was nice. He paid. I fumbled around my bag for literally an hour trying to find my credit card. And it was objectively actually me trying to find my credit card. I wasn't doing it on purpose, but it was kind of funny because I was straight up unloading my bag at this table because it had my gym clothes, it had my work shit.
Yeah.
Like my bag was like deep and I forgot that I had put my wallet in the specific pocket.
Okay.
And I had to go to the bathroom. So I was like, oh, you know, I'll get my card. You can just like get the check or whatever and just put my card down.
You're unpacking.
I'm literally unpacking my shit for like 30 minutes. He's like, it's totally fine. Like, just go to the bathroom. Like, I know you have to go. It's all good or whatever. I finally find my card after 5 minutes of putting it on the table.
Yeah.
And then when I get back from the bathroom, the waiter comes with the check and he doesn't let me put my card down. Love. I was like, all that. And I don't even pay.
At least she offered.
At least she didn't pay.
Yeah. I mean, it ended up being fine. Yeah. So I thought that was good. But I was like, this guy clearly was not interested in me. Like, he did not ask me a single question about myself. Whatever. And so I walk him towards the subway. We part ways, hug goodbye. I'm like, so interesting. Whatever. I text Colby. I'm like, this dude did not ask a single question of myself. Text Alex, the same thing. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this did not go well. And then I text our mutual friend. And I'm like, he's like, how'd the date go? Oh my God.
Did you just, a pigeon that just like
headbutted the window.
Flew into my window. Did you just see that?
I did. And my friend was like, oh, maybe he was just nervous. Anyways, Instagram DMs me 30 minutes later. He's like, had such a great time. Like, I have some time in between this trip. If you want to go to dinner next week.
Huh?
And I was like, what the fuck?
So what are you going to do?
Are you going to go to dinner?
I'm going to see him again.
Get your questions ready.
I feel like date two might be a better indication.
Yeah, maybe he was just really nervous. I mean, clearly he was super into you because he pursued you very hard.
Right.
Before. Yeah. I feel like what you need to do is just like allow there to be awkward silences.
Yeah.
So he does something.
Yeah.
Then he can fill them.
Right.
Because he'll have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Chew your food for a long time.
I know tough because awkward silences are the fucking worst. Like, I hate, even with just like non-romantic like dates, like I'm at a brand dinner, for example, and I'm like sitting across from someone I don't know. Like, I get so nervous that there's an awkward silence. But then I remember it's not all of my responsibility to make this a good dinner. Like, it's not all on me. Like, if I don't do something, no one will. Like, people will have to step up and then speak. But that is awkward. And that is really curious.
I know.
I bet no one's ever told him that he... Can you imagine if, like, dating apps were, like, you could leave reviews? Like, maybe not for other people to see, but for the person to see. And they could be, like, anonymous reviews. But I guess they would know.
What was that app? When we were growing
up. Ask FM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I know, but like, it would just help so many people if there was just like some honesty.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I don't know. It's interesting. And when I texted my mutual friend, he was like, almost doesn't surprise me because he's a big talker. Like, he like loves to talk. So maybe he was just very interested in talking about himself, which I was like, you know,
kind of a red flag. But I think we can attribute it to nervousness, though. I think that's a fair assumption that he was nervous. And like, it's been 2 years of him like wanting to go on a date with you.
True.
So he was probably trying to talk a big game.
Yeah. Try to get you interested.
He did for sure talk a big game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was intrigued enough to be like, you know, I'm just going to go on like a second date or whatever. And I was texting one of our friends about this. And I was like, honestly, I'm kind of nervous about the second date because I don't have any more questions to ask him. Like, what the fuck am I going to do for a dinner? You know?
So, yeah.
I don't know. But I was like, what do I have to lose? I may as well like try to keep getting out there.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I love it.
Chatty Cathy, round two.
Yeah. So I might go on another date with him. And then I also matched with this guy on Raya who I've been chatting with nonstop. And we've been texting now also, but he lives in D.C.
Ah.
But he's like, oh, don't worry. Like, I'm an Amtrak Elite member, so I'm going to
wait, let's link up with him out. July 4th. When we're home.
True.
We're home July 4th.
You're going to the area.
He might be in London, but I'll try to see.
Oh, he's a world traveler.
He's a big traveler. He's always somewhere. Yeah. But, you know, that's my current stack. Two boys in the mix. We'll see what happens.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well.
We'll see.
That's exciting.
That's all I got.
Wow, that was a really good story.
Yeah, it was a great update.
Very invisible string, right? Like,
very invisible string, but the way you set that up being like, we had so much in common. But there was one thing. I was on the edge of my seat. It was like a book.
I knew I was going to get you with that. And Colby knew the entire time because I prepped her.
I'm glad I wasn't prepped. I love being surprised.
No, I needed to surprise you. I knew you'd be surprised when I came out.
He wasn't even going to tell me, but we just happened to
be together. We were like together or something. And I was like, oh, by the way, I'm going on a date. Should we do a question?
Oh.
Colby, you seeing any men?
Yeah, Colby, any updates?
I've been hiding.
Colby and I looked at Hinge earlier, and there are actually some hot boys in your Hinge, though.
Yeah, maybe one will message me.
I'm hoping so.
Well, there's like one, which is enough. All you need is one.
Colby changed her preferences, so now she's into the older men.
Yes, I did. I changed it to 29 and up.
Ooh.
She said no more of these little boys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But last night, actually, very interesting. I had two of our like guy friends over for dinner with one of our friends, and we were all just like talking about dating and whatever. And I asked them if I could look at their Hinge just to see what the competition is like, basically. And on one of our guy friends, his most compatible, this girl, her photo was like a topless picture of, and I was like, okay. The next people were all like group shots, and I, because I really wanted to look, because I was like, I put my best foot forward with these pictures, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, maybe I look like I'm trying too hard, so maybe I need to
be more chill,
like change out all of my pictures to just be like,
yeah,
normal, but I don't take pictures normally. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have a good database of that anyway to choose from.
I think your pictures are perfect, the ones you have on Hinge. I think they really like show the essence of who you are, which is the most important thing.
Yeah,
and are clear, like face, body photos. So
that's what I thought I was going for, but then I was like, okay, maybe these girls look chill and more approachable. Hmm. I don't know.
You're always comparing yourself.
Yeah.
Well.
But yeah, this one guy is like 38
in my Hinge. That's like my sweet spot. I love that for you.
He hasn't even messaged. Well, so
we'll see.
He doesn't look 38. And then I got another guy that I thought was cute, who I assumed was in his 20s still, and he was 37.
Wow. So. Cool. I can see you as someone in like some mid-30s, man.
I'm going to change my Hinge preferences.
I need some maturity up in here.
Yeah, see what we get.
Yeah.
I do have a question here. Hey, Katie, Colby, and Adam. Love the pod and keeping up with your dating escapades each week and could use your advice. I matched with a guy on Bumble and got to chatting. He's tall, super cute, and a pilot, so naturally when he asked me on a date, I agreed. I'm 27 and he is mid-30s. There we go, Colby.
There we go.
It took a while for our schedules to align. He flies internationally for work, but we ended up getting drinks at a cocktail bar. It was fun and we seem to have a good vibe. At the end of the date, he pays the bill and I thank him. When I get home, I get a message from him asking me to Venmo him my half. I immediately got the ick, but I'm not sure if that's fair of me. I'd love to know your thoughts and how you'd handle it. Much love.
So fair. That's so weird. I would be like, no, bro, I'm not Venmoing you. No,
fair to be annoyed.
Yeah, fair to be annoyed, 100%.
Yeah, sorry, that's so strange. Like, the fact that it's also an afterthought.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, what's worse? Having to split the bill on the spot or being Venmo requested later?
Definitely being Venmo requested later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to split the bill on the spot, just be like,
Do you mind if we split it?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to do it like in front of the waiter or something, or like maybe he was like feeling weird about the environment. That's why he didn't do it in person. But weird that vibes. Is so bizarre.
Yeah.
That is really strange behavior. Also, then you have to be like, okay, what's your Venmo? Like,
how, I'm wondering how the message went. Like, hey, girl, or hey, whatever your name is, had a great time tonight. Can you Venmo me $50 or something? Right. Like,
she needs to block him.
That text would not be getting a response from me.
I feel like
I would send the money and block.
I would not even send the money. I'd be like, you're good.
Yeah.
I don't want to generalize, but we know how pilots are. I mean, like, the pilot, you hear things about how like single pilots they get around
girls in different area codes.
Oh well, yeah,
this is a generalization. I'm sure there's going to be a listener being like, my husband's a pilot and he is great. I'm sure that's true, but you know, pilots go to a lot of different locations on the reg and can go on dates in said locations. He probably has a budget, you know.
True.
He can only go on so many.
Yeah.
But no. Wait, that's,
but also, like, but shouldn't he be able to expense it if he's traveling?
Wait, fair.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, they get a stipend for sure. Yeah.
So maybe his stipend was for his portion only.
I feel like you just say goodbye. Never see him again.
Well,
this was from 9 days ago, so I'm assuming she probably paid it by now. But
I hope she didn't pay it.
I feel like if you pay it, then you just never see him again.
Yeah.
Like, goodbye.
Not into it.
If he ever texts you again, you should like Venmo request him the money back.
I just feel like it's really like, and the reason why I'm saying this, I think splitting the bill is not always like a death sentence for a relationship or for whatever. But I think this is so like doing it after the fact via text is so messed up. Like, it's just not good manners. It's rude.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre. like when the check came, if you had like maybe made a move to like split it, he should have just let you split it.
Yeah.
Like that, that or is
even
so
if you
weird.
Didn't, if he wanted to split it, he should have just
verbalized said, that.
Do you mind if we split it?
Yeah. Right. Be a man and fucking speak up. Like right. don't after the fact be like, Venmo request. Like, I feel like that's just so weird.
I'm yeah. in the same. Yeah.
At On that point, it's like you gotta either eat it or I don't know. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
Not the vibe.
No.
Not the vibe.
No. And with that, guys, that's all we have time for today.
Wow, what a great episode.
It actually was good. Yeah. We had a lot of stories to share.
Wow. Okay. Well,
lots of updates. Story-filled
episode. And with that, guys, it's been fun. Love ya. See ya.
Bye.
I gotta...
I have to pee again.
Wait, so do I?
Same. So do I.